10, verse 12, we read this. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And so in Romans chapter 10, we read or learn a number of things. We learn here how there is in the sight of God no difference between the Jew and the Greek or the Gentile. Salvation is for all, and that's an important thing for us to remember as New Testament believers, and also remembering that he still had a love for those in the Old Testament who were also that weren't of the Israel nation. We see here that salvation is for all those who call upon the Lord. And we're also told the six steps that are needed to bring someone from being a hell-deserving sinner to enjoying God's mercy in salvation. And here in Romans chapter 10, it explains it in reverse order. It works back from salvation. But if you look at it, starting at the beginning where a person is unsaved, who isn't enjoying the mercy of God, we see the six steps are these. I don't know if you've noticed this before, maybe you have. We see that first of all, God sends his servant to the sinner. And then secondly, God's servant preaches the gospel. And then thirdly, the sinner hears the word of God. Then fourthly, the sinner believes the word of God. Then fifthly, the sinner calls on the Lord to save him. And then sixthly, the Lord shows mercy on them who calls and he saves them. And so we see the six steps in bringing a sinner from being under the judgment of God and bringing them to the point where they enjoy the mercy of God. And so the six key words are these: sent, preach, hear, believe, call, and save. So there's six key words that are mentioned there in Romans chapter 10. And today what I want to show you is God's plan has always been the same. Although the Jews were God's special nation where he showed his greatness through, and we see that in many ways, and although he gave the law to Israel, although it was going to be through Israel that he would send the Messiah, and although Israel was going to be the beneficiaries of many promises that God gave Abraham, he was still interested in the other nations of the world as well. It wasn't as though they were non-existent and he didn't care. He was angry with their sin just like he was angry with Israel's sin. He would judge their wickedness just like he judged Israel's wickedness. And there was also salvation to any individual who would turn to him in faith. And there are lots of examples of this, but just the most common ones would be Rahab. There is Ruth, there is King Nebuchadnezzar, and there are many as well. He wouldn't save a nation. Salvation, in that sense, never came as a nation. It was always for the individual in regards to their standing with God. And that's what he was willing to do. And in the book of Jonah, especially chapter 3, we see God's anger with the sin of the Gentiles. We also see God's willingness to show willingness to these Gentiles if they would repent. And we see these six steps, the same six steps that we find in Romans chapter 10, applied to this wicked people in the city of Nineveh. And so today what we're going to do is use those six steps in Romans chapter 10 as our points in Jonah chapter 3. And so with that in mind, let's turn to Jonah chapter 3. I'm already there. Jonah chapter 3, and we have obviously 6 points for today. But don't worry, they get faster as we go along. But the first one, as we see, learn from Romans chapter 10, is the word sent. For salvation to come to the sinner, the Lord has chosen that he will send his servants to bring them the news. Salvation starts with God. The Lord initiates salvation. He sends the person with that precious news, and then at the end he saves them as well. Salvation is of the Lord. And in Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, we see that the Lord sends Jonah to Nineveh. Let's have a look at chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. And so, here we have the sending once again, the second time. If you remember, we had the same words used. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah. And the Lord said, Arise, go to Nineveh. And we have in the next verse where it says, But Jonah. And we know that Jonah disobeyed the Lord. Yet if you have a look at verse 3, after this very same command of God to arise and go, it says in verse 3, So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh. A very different story now. If Jonah had done this in the first place and obeyed the Lord straight away, this book certainly would have been even shorter than what it is now, and Jonah would have saved himself from a lot of trouble in the process. And the same principle applies to us today. If only we would do what God says in His Word, we would save ourselves a lot of troubles along the way. When God tells us to do something, He does it for our good. He has a good reason for telling us these things. And when we disobey Him, that's when we have to go through a lot of troubles. And Jonah finally came around. And he was willing to obey the Lord. But as we know, he certainly didn't want to go at first. The Lord didn't want to go when Jonah didn't want to go when the Lord sent him. And we're left with no doubt why Jonah didn't want to go. And that is, he hated the Assyrians and he wanted them punished. Thankfully, I can't remember my Sunday school teacher, but I know that when I was being taught this lesson from my Sunday school teacher, that Jonah was scared of the Assyrians because they were big and scary, and so he was too afraid, and that's why he ran away. That wasn't the reason why he didn't go, I'm sorry to tell you. Jonah tells us why he didn't want to go. After God showed mercy to them, have a look in Jonah chapter 4. Verse 1, it says, But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord, and he said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and a merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And so Jonah says to the Lord, after he sees God show mercy to them, Jonah says, isn't that what I said when I was back in my own country before I ran away, that I knew that if they repented, you'd show mercy to them and forgive them, because I know that you're such a kind, loving, caring God who forgives? That's why I went to Tarshish. He hated these people. Now, when you look at just human reasoning, he had just cause to hate these people. They were a wicked nation, And when we talk about wickedness, we often think of moral wickedness, but this was, no doubt that was there, but their wickedness went further than this. They had wickedness in regards to the violence that they showed to one another as well as to other nations. Have a listen to the king himself in chapter 3, verse 8. This is the words of the king of Nineveh. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Even the king knew that they, the Assyrians and his people, were a very violent people. Wicked and violent. And generally that goes together. Where there's wickedness, there's violence. And they were a merciless people. You know, there are so many awful things you could say about the Assyrians and what they did. When they would go to a nation and they took people, they took pleasure in what was called flaying people, where they would burn them, their body, but not to the point where they died. But then they would peel off that skin and have the rawness of the skin after the burn, and then let them suffer from that and die from those miseries. If they were surrounding a city, oftentimes when someone fled and said, look, I change sides, most nations would say, okay, you can join our army. The Assyrians didn't. If anyone fled, they would kill them. But they wouldn't just kill them, they would skewer them and put them on poles going right through in front of the gates and the walls so that the people inside can see what awaited them. They would get the heads of people that tried and they would pile them up at the gates just to scare everyone that's inside. And when they did go into the city, there was no mercy shown to anyone in general. It didn't matter if you were a child, they would disembowel the children. If you're a lady and pregnant, they would do the same. They took pleasure in violence. They showed no mercy to their enemies. And it was because of this, Jonah felt that they did not deserve mercy themselves. Why should they enjoy the mercy of his God? Not realizing that he is the God of all nations. And even though Jonah had received mercy, he didn't think this wicked nation deserved it. I guess it would be a little bit like a Jewish Christian in our days being sent in World War II to Berlin to preach the gospel to Hitler and his key men and learning that they repented of their sin and received forgiveness for all their wickedness and violence. I suspect that would be a hard call to want to go and preach to these ones. They deserve to be punished. And that would have been the mindset of Jonah. He wanted the Assyrians to get what they deserved. And so that's why he didn't want to go when the Lord clearly told him to go. And so the Lord had a problem. And the problem was getting from step one, the sending, to step two, the preaching, due to the prejudice of the one that he wanted to send. And the reality is, nearly 3,000 years later, the Lord still has the same problem when wanting to extend his mercy to those who don't deserve it, and that is sinful mankind. It's still a problem for the Lord getting from step one, that is the sending, to step two, and that is the telling. The Lord gives every disciple of his the commandment to go into the world and preach the gospel. And let's remember that Matthew 28 isn't just for the missionaries. Yes, they go. It isn't just for the evangelists or the pastors. It is something that is for every disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been given that commandment to go. And it's not he will send us. It is in the past tense, he has sent us. If you are a believer and a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, acknowledge and be sure that God has already sent you to tell the unsaved in your world. Regardless if it's in your home or at your work or in this city, our nation, or beyond, God is going, we need to tell them that God is going to judge them for their sin. But they can be saved and spared because he sent his son, the Lord Jesus, who bore the punishment for them. There is an opportunity to escape the judgment of God because of Jesus who died on that cross. And so that is our number one priority as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are lots of other things he wants us to be doing, but that is our first and number one priority. The problem is too often we don't go when God wants us to go somewhere. We don't speak when there's an opportunity to speak. And he gives us these things. We fail to do our part in those six steps bringing someone to Christ or enjoying the mercy of God. And so can I just amplify that in those six steps that the responsibility of step two is ours, right? Number two. We only have to get number two right. One out of all of them. Step two. And the Lord wants us to learn from Jonah's actions in chapter one all the troubles if we don't do that. And the chastening hand. But he also wants us to copy his actions in chapter 3 and arise and go. And that's what Jonah finally did. And he went to Nineveh and step 2 took place. And we know the second point is preach or preaching. And we see that in chapter 3 verse 4. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." I often wonder how he did this. You know, was he booming it out? Was he just saying it because he knew he had to? I wonder what his demeanor was as he was saying this in his heart or head, in his heart, thinking, "I don't want them to enjoy God's forgiveness, but I'm going to say what God wants me to say because I need to obey him. I'm too scared not to now." Regardless of what his demeanor was, it is not so much how it's delivered, if there's razzle-dazzle with it or not. It's the actual words that are spoken. It's the message that is needed to be said. And he told them exactly what God wanted them to know, that in 40 days he would destroy this city. And I believe that from their reaction, he must have told them it was due to their sin. Because they clearly understood that the reason why God was judging them was because of their wickedness. So they knew what Jonah was saying. They knew they were guilty. And they knew judgment was on its way. Jonah had told them. Step two, done. And brethren, let's remember there is a far worse punishment awaiting those in our streets, in our cities, than what awaited them. Or same. For some in our cities today, they have less than 40 days. Others, they might have 40 years, but God's judgment and wrath will be upon all those in the lake of fire who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and not received that message of forgiveness. And he has sent us to go and warn them of the coming judgment. We're not told by what means, and I think that's important. As though there's just one way of doing it. Some people get so hung up that unless a church or a person is, unless they're door knocking, they're not fulfilling the call. Now, some things work in some societies and some things don't. Sometimes it might work once and never again. There's not a specific way. It can be door knocking. It can be street preaching. It can be just walking around the parks and opening up conversations. It can be letterboxing. It can be building a friendship, personal one-on-one, just sharing at work. It could be children's ministries and outreach. It could be the elderly outreach or somewhere in between. There are all different ways. The reality is, though, we are told to go and speak. That's the key. Then the rest is between the sinner and the Lord. We only have to do one step. Tell. Share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the rest is between them and the Lord. And we see that Jonah told those in Nineveh. And they obviously heard and they listened. They heard what he had to say. And so that is step three. They heard what he had to say. Now, we don't have it written down here, they heard, but we can tell by their response they heard him. And then in verse 5, we see step 4 took place, and that is believe. Let's read verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, that means the kings and the royalties, even to the least of them, the beggars in the street. They believed. Notice it says they believed God. It wasn't that they believed Jonah, they believed God. They knew this was God's word. They knew it was God who was angry. They believed that God was going to punish them. And the Lord saw their faith. He saw that they believed. And regardless if it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, the Lord has always required faith, or let's not get confused, or the verb form, believing from the sinner for them to enjoy his mercy and forgiveness. He has always required faith. And it don't get confused thinking it was works in the Old Testament and faith in the New. It has always been faith. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. We're told, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We know John 3:16, faith and believing God has always been the key to unlocking God's mercy. And believing is something all of us can do. I reject the doctrine that it's something that God gives you. And if he doesn't give it to you, you can't do it. No, we all have the capacity to believe. God didn't give all the Ninevites a special gift to believe, and that's why they believed. No, they had the capacity to do that when they heard. And their actions show us that they believed. They knew, they believed what God says, that their actions were wicked, they deserved to be punished, this judgment was real and would come upon them if they stayed like this. And this is still the same today. The Lord requires faith in the sinner before he saves. For anyone to be saved, they need to believe what God says about himself, about them, and the way to receive his mercy. And it is faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And so that's step 4 when it comes to those in Nineveh. They believed. Then as Romans 10 says, upon believing they must call on the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, we read. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And so there is a hearing, a believing, and a calling. And we see that calling in verses 6 to 8 in Jonah 3. It says, verse 6, for word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily, all right, cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hand. And so they heard God's word from his prophet. They believed what God said. They put on sackcloth and ashes, which was an outward sign of an inward repentance, and they cried mightily unto God. You see, calling is the action that comes from a person believing what they've been told. When we believe, we call. And I do believe there's a fine line in this, and that can sometimes be a debate. Do you have to literally call, or is it just believing? And I don't profess that I know exactly myself. God knows. But I do know, I do believe that you can believe everything but still reject it, like the devils. You know, you can believe that there is salvation on offer, believe it all, but reject it and say, no, I want to choose this life. And there's no repentance, no turning. Or you can believe it and say, yes, and you call on the Lord to save you, and there is a repentance. I believe that you can believe and still not be saved in that regard. And that's why I think it's important to see here that there is a calling. There is something that God needs to see. A response to that. And those in Nineveh heard what God said. They believed him. There was that sign of repentance, and they called on him for mercy. And when they did that, step number six, here as a nation they were saved, or saved from judgment. I'm not going to say they were individually saved like Abraham in that regard. They'll save from this judgment and enjoyed God's mercy. Salvation, as we think of it, where you get to go to heaven and so on, I think was still for the individual there. But what we read there in verse 10 is the mercy of God shown to them. It says, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. And Jonah was right. God was a merciful God. Notice it says, God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. Now, that's not meaning that God their good works saved them. We know these works were only the result of the faith that they had in what they had heard from God's word. And the reality is, saving faith, the faith where God will show mercy upon someone and save them, will always have works come along with it. Faith without that godly works, that repentance, is a dead faith. And God shows his mercy when he sees that faith and that calling. And we're going to look at that a little bit later on tonight. Not later on today, but tonight, in regards to the difference in that, looking at another passage. But we see here that God showed his mercy on these Ninevites based on their faith in him, in believing in him. And so what we have here in Jonah 3 is we see the six steps to salvation that we have explained in Romans chapter 10. Those in Nineveh enjoyed God's mercy, because they called upon him. Why did they call? Because they believed his word. And why were they able to believe his word? Because they heard his word. And why were they able to hear his word? Because Jonah preached it to them. And why did Jonah preach it to them? Because God sent him. Each step is needed. for someone to go from being under God's judgment to enjoying God's mercy. Take one of these steps out and it all falls down. God doesn't send. If we don't go, if you don't believe, or you don't hear, and so on. And we mustn't forget that our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still gets angry with the sin of people today. He is angry with the sin of our nation and with the individuals of our nation. Judgment awaits them. Hell is real. But because the Lord is loving, the Lord wants all to come to that point of salvation. And for Him to do that and show mercy, well then He needs us to tell them. He needs us to do our part, and that is step number two. Question is, do you go? Do you speak? As I said, God is still having problems with that. As a church, we need to go. But you just can't blame the church, this local church, if you aren't telling. You have an individual responsibility as well. Question is, do you go? Or do you tell? And if you don't, what's your reason? Jonah made it really clear why he didn't want to go. He hated them. You don't usually hear that too much. So when you had that opportunity to share the gospel with that person, you know, that workmate, why didn't you tell them, oh, I hate them. I want them to go to hell. You don't generally hear that. Why didn't you go on the mission field when God, you know, God's calling was upon you? I hate that nation. You know, I don't want them to hear the gospel. You don't hear that. But we still have our own reasons why. Oh, I was too afraid. Well, it's still, you didn't tell. Oh, I was too embarrassed to say something. Oh, I didn't really care if anyone knows. Or I'm just too busy to do it. Or I know He wants me to go, but I don't want to give up these certain things. We all have our own reasons. They might not be as blatant and sound as awful as Jonah's reason, but we all have a reason when we don't speak and we don't go. Yet if the Lord has told us to go and we don't, we are just as disobedient as Jonah. It's not look at him, think, wow, he's brave to take on the Lord in disobeying, and we are doing the same as him. We're not brave, we're foolish. And so, can I just end by reminding each one of us, step two, the telling, is our responsibility. I trust that we will all take those opportunities, praying for opportunities, praying for the boldness to speak when the opportunity arises, and taking it when God opens up those doors. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for whoever it was who shared that wonderful news of salvation for us, to us. For many of us, it's our parents. For others, it might have been our Sunday school teacher, our pastor, a uncle or an auntie, a friend. Even some, it may have just been a stranger on the street. Yet, Lord, if we have that salvation, it is because someone told us that good news. We thank you for them. And I pray that, Lord, you will give us opportunities at this time to concentrate on what is the most important, and that is sharing the gospel and taking the opportunities when they arise. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.